Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us, too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and, I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Over the next couple of days, we will be continuing our journey through Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. Yesterday, we jumped into week one, recovering a sense of safety. If you haven't listened to that episode, I recommend going back to yesterday's episode and checking it out before starting today, because this is a direct continuation from then. Now, in this chapter, we've been talking about uncovering our shadow self and releasing some of the fears that keeps that shadow artists from expressing themselves freely. This means we need to become a bit more conscious with any type of resistance we may feel so that we can address if that's rooted in a negative core belief that we can potentially address and overcome. But in addition to that task of just addressing the dragon that lives inside us all and keeps us from performing or working or doing or creating, there are other tasks that Julia Cameron suggests we do to slowly start to foster that sense of internalized safety so that we can begin to create and reconnect to that inner artist. One of the main tasks throughout the entire book that we've talked about many a time before is the morning pages. As Julia puts it, every morning, you're going to set your clock 1/2 hour early, get up, and write 3 pages of longhand stream of consciousness morning writing. You're not going to reread the pages or allow anyone else to see them. Ideally, you're going to stick these pages in a large manila envelope or hide them. Welcome to the morning pages. They will change you. And every chapter has different quotes from writers and creatives. And this particular quote from Robin Norwood stuck out to me. It says, "Make your own recovery the first priority in your life." And as someone who has a tendency to make everyone else's problems an emergency for myself, I have just recently started to realize that the more recovery I do internally, the better I am at handling other people's problems so that they don't feel like emergencies at all. And that's not even mentioning the fact that I get better at setting boundaries, so I'm not taking on the burdens from other people nearly as often as I was in the first place. So, if I get anything from that quote, it's that we have to become our own priorities so that when our community needs us, we can be fully there and conscious and invested, and our cups will be fully filled so that we can actually contribute something to the community that's worthwhile, rather than more stress, fear, anxiety, and self-neglect. because it becomes counterintuitive. Now, as I mentioned, those morning pages are something she encourages us to do every single day. But for the first week, during the morning pages, Julia wants you to be conscious of any signs of resistance. She calls them blurts, but anytime your brain says, I can't do that, I'm not good at that, I don't actually want to do that, I don't think that's for me, I'm not an artist, yada yada. Anytime you have these negative blurts while writing your morning pages, you should be addressing them in writing by transforming that blurt into a more positive affirmation. The next task that she suggests doing on a weekly basis is the artist date. So this is something we're going to do every week for the duration of the course, the daily morning pages and the weekly artist date. She suggests for your first artist date, you could take a few bucks and go to the dollar store, get some silly things like gold sticker stars, tiny dinosaurs or postcards and sparkly sequins and glue and kid scissors, anything that fires up your inner artists. So that every time you complete your morning pages, you can stick them in an envelope, put a couple gold stars on them, give yourself a prize dinosaur, and decorate them just for fun. Just for fun. That's the point, is the joy of it all. And I do think that this practice is especially beneficial for those of us who don't have a lot of time. And it might sound counterintuitive. If I don't have time, how can I make time for myself? But I promise you, if it is possible, which it might not be at this point in your life, but if it is possible to rearrange and reprioritize and potentially delegate some of the things that you do so that you can have an hour of your own time for something stupid and silly and ridiculous every week, you're going to heal something inside of you, whether you care about your internal creative or not. It's definitely one of those tasks that I struggle with scheduling and setting up on a weekly basis, but I have been prioritizing it more when I find free time, and holy shit, it feels really joyful to be in the middle of something completely frivolous and silly, start to feel a tinge of shame and go, no, this is for my inner artist, because it is. And I don't care how you need that reminder, but not everything has to be productive or for capitalism or for somebody else. Some things can and should be for the thrill of it all, for the joy of it, for the fuck all of it. Because in my perspective, that is the key to a more joyful and intentional life, is finding the joy and intention where you can, when you can. Another task that Julia Cameron suggests for this week is to time travel. By listing three old enemies of your creative self-worth. She suggests you be as specific as possible while doing this exercise. These historic monsters are the building block of your core negative beliefs. She refers to this as your monster hall of fame. More monsters will come to you as you work through this recovery, and it is always necessary to acknowledge creative injuries and grieve them. Otherwise, they become creative scar tissue and block your growth. The next time travel task she suggests is to select and write out one horror story from your monster hall of fame. You don't have to write a lot, but jot down whatever details come back to you, whether it's the room you were in, the way you felt, the way people looked at you, what your parents did or didn't do when you told them about it. Whatever memories do come to mind, jot them down, because this type of practice in itself can be a very cathartic experience. To take something intangible from being internalized to something externalized and outside of ourselves so that we can not only see it, but we can adjust it and control it. We can color on it and scribble it out, draw a big red X through it with a marker. But by making the intangible tangible, it can be a really rewarding and surprisingly healthy experience. Another task she suggests is writing a letter to the editor in your defense. Which she suggests writing the letter in the voice of your wounded artist child. So you can be as petty and childish as you want, and then you will mail that to yourself. She also suggests time traveling to a more positive champion of your creative self-worth, because we will typically need a hall of champions to fight our hall of monsters. This is really important to fill our creative well, So write down every encouraging word that you can remember. Even if you didn't believe the compliment, write it down. It might be true. But if you can't remember specific compliments or words or experiences, go back in your mental log and just seek out positive feelings around creation. What was it about that environment or who was there or what you were doing that gave you the affirmation to feel comfortable enough to play and create and feel joy without a side dish of shame like we normally feel? Julia suggests writing down one of these compliments or one of these overall feelings and decorating it and putting it somewhere you can see it every day, maybe where you write your morning pages, so it can act as a coach to you when you do start to feel feelings of resistance in the future. Another task is to select and write out one of the happy pieces of encouragement by writing a formal thank you letter. You can mail it to yourself or to the former mentor if you think it would be a positive reinforcement for them. Another task is through that of imaginary lives. If you had 5 other lives to lead, what would you do in each of them? Julia says she'd be a pilot, a cowhand, a physicist, a psychic, and a monk. But you might be a scuba diver, a writer, a football player, a belly dancer, a painter, a performance artist, a Peace Corps worker, a psychologist, a history teacher, a scientist, a fisherman, a minister, an auto mechanic, a carpenter, a sculptor, a lawyer, a painter, a computer hacker, a soap opera star, a country singer. It doesn't matter. Whatever comes up, write it down. You're not supposed to overthink this exercise. But the point of these lives and the concept of these lives is that you want to have fun in them, more fun than you might be having in this current life. Then you look over that list and you select one. And then you will do something this week dedicated to that potential life. For instance, if you wrote down country singer, can you pick up a guitar this week? If you dream of being a cowhand, go seek out a local ranch and do some horseback riding. The next task is a reminder that when working with affirmations and blurts or that resistance, we often sense these injuries and monsters are coming back at us. So, as they occur to us, we should add them to the list of monsters and blurts, but we can work with each of them individually to turn each negative into an affirmative positive instead. And the final task suggestion for this week is to take your artist for a walk, just the two of you. She says a brisk 20-minute walk can dramatically alter your consciousness. And then at the end of the week, you should check in with yourself. How many morning pages did you complete? How did you feel about them? How did you do on your artist date this week? Did it feel good? Where did you go? What did you do? And were there other issues from this week that you consider significant to your recovery? Now, all of this shadow work practice does not just apply to our inner artist. It applies to whatever inner critic we may have. Any type of resistance can be fought with consciousness and effort, but it's slow and steady and gentle. But the more slow and steady and gentle you choose to be now, the more you'll recognize how much you've deserved that the whole time. And eventually it will become clear that the rushing and the shaming of the previous method was not working and it wasn't effective. And you deserve better. Tomorrow, we'll be digging into week 2 of The Artist's Way. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I love you so much, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus. Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.